Introducing the amazing iPhone XS you'll love on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless. It's the perfect way to stay connected to those you heart most. Fall in love with iPhone XS on T-Mobile. And right now, trade in an eligible iPhone and you'll save $300. Visit a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE.
If you cancel service, remaining balance is due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. $279.99 down plus 30 per month times 24. Full price $999.99. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers plus tax on full price. Allow 8 weeks for rebate.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Ed Boston Podcast. It's our weekly sermon, and we are so glad that you're here with us this evening. We've got things going right now. And I'll point to the camera, Facebook Live. Welcome to the folks that are watching there. And if you're watching not live, we'll just say welcome whenever it is that you see this. And we are so glad you're here with us. Point over here. These people can't see me because that is my computer. And there is a podcast that is recording this as we go. Once again, it is on live, blogtalkradio.com/ Ed Boston podcast. Maybe it's just Ed Boston. Yeah, it's just Ed Boston. I got so many social media things that it's hard to keep track. But welcome to the folks that are listening on Blog Talk Radio, on our podcast, whether they get it through any of the many different places, Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, all the different places that we're listed. We welcome you as well. I wanted to take a couple of minutes here and mention some things about the show because I don't know how long people listen to what we say. I don't know if they start from here from the beginning and go all the way to the end. And so I wanted to do this at the beginning to get the message out and to ask for your help. We need your help. We are in a very, very good time here at the Ed Boston Podcast. And we've got a lot of good things going. We've had interviews recently from some fantastic guests. We have grown our audience. We have done just a lot here in the last few weeks and certainly the last few months and years. But there's some things I need some help with. In order to continue to grow the podcast, the sermon series, everything that we do, we've got to be really good on social media. And to do that, we need people to subscribe, to like, to follow, whatever it is that the social media has in store for us. We need your support and we need you to follow, like, and subscribe. One thing I want to ask you in particular is our YouTube channel, edboston.com YouTube channel. I'll be posting links on our social media sites, and you can get them there. You can go to YouTube, just search Ed Boston, and we should come up. There's some things that we would like to do as far as YouTube goes that we need about 85 more subscribers. We've not really focused a whole lot on YouTube, and there's some things that we want to do. But in order to do that, we have to have 100 subscriptions there. So if you're listening and you would go to YouTube, Ed Boston, and subscribe, you can put a link in there to be notified anytime that we make a post there, anytime that we go live. Which is something that we want to do in the future, which is part of why I'm asking you to subscribe. But help us out. Help us out on Twitter. I'm trying my best to figure the Twitter thing out and see why it is as popular as it is. I mean, I kind of understand it, but I'm an older guy, and some of these newfangled things make me struggle. Go to Facebook, like our Facebook page, Ed Boston Podcast, and share our sermons and our podcasts and our posts. We want to have as big a reach as we can have. And that's not so that we can brag about how many numbers of people that follow us or whatever it is that they're going to do. It's so that we can get the message of Jesus Christ out to as many people as we possibly can. We have a worldwide ministry. And if you listened to yesterday's podcast, I listed many, many, many nations where people listen to this podcast: Russia, India, Pakistan, Canada, England, New Zealand, Australia, and the list goes on. And that's very humbling on my part. But we need our core supporters, people that are behind us and that pray for us. And so we're asking for your help today. And we thank you for all the help we have ever received from you. And we're thanking you in advance for the support that you're going to give. Today's sermon is called Christ is the Answer. Christ is the Answer. To me, it's a very troubling day. And before, this is really not the sermon, but this is another thing that I feel that I need to say right from the beginning. And then we'll get into how that ties into the sermon of Christ is the Answer. And we'll see how that all works out in the end. Yesterday was a horrible day in American history. August the 12th, 2017, in Charlottesville, Virginia, a group of white supremacists decided that they would have a protest. I'm not going to get into all the details of why they wanted to protest and whether I agree with their protest, whether I disagree with their protest. I want to get to what I feel is the root of the problem. And they gathered and had their protests. Many people on the opposite side of the political spectrum showed up in a counter-protest. Once again, whether or not they had the right to be there, and I'm not talking right now about our rights as American citizens, I'm talking about right and wrong. The Bible tells us that things may be legal, but they're not beneficial. And I'm telling you, folks, that what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia yesterday was not beneficial to anyone. Long story short, on what happened in Charlottesville, in the midst of these counter protests, someone drove a car into a crowd of people. One person died. I believe 19 others were injured. Also, a police helicopter, a Virginia State Police helicopter, crashed while working on this event, and two state troopers lost their lives. Now, that is a tragedy in itself that three people lost their lives. But here is why yesterday was a sad day in American history. And I'm going to talk directly to one group of people, and that would be white Christian conservatives. I have many friends on the internet, and as you would expect, today was a pretty crazy day for people posting about the things that happened yesterday. And one theme that I seem to be reading over and over and over from my white Christian conservative friends, a white Jewish friend, is they condemn the white supremacists, and then they say, now if you know much about me, you know that I feel when you use a phrase and then put "but" after it, then that kind of negates everything you said up to the point of "but." The white supremacy movement is ungodly. And if you consider yourself a Christian and you are part of the white supremacy movement, then you need to get right with God. Well, who are you to judge me? I'll say I judge you by the fruit you bear, and there is no good fruit coming from the white supremacy group. There is no good fruit coming for people who may not be white supremacists, but condone what it is they have to do. Over and over, I have read today that, boy, they were wrong. You know, we can't condone white supremacy, but if this other group hadn't shown up, then there wouldn't have been a problem. Now, I got problems with that other group as well, but that's not why I'm here tonight to talk about. I'm talking about the people that put the but in the statement. They say, well, if that group hadn't showed up, this group would have not had the conflict, and they could have just done their First Amendment rights and protested. Okay, that's true. Just because you first have First Amendment rights doesn't mean that you're right. You may have the right by our Constitution, which I fully believe in, and I fully believe in the rights of everyone to peacefully protest. But I'm here to tell you that just because you're following your American rights, your constitutional rights, doesn't make you right. There is no room in the United States for bigotry and hatred. There is no room as Christians for us to condone the actions and say, well, they did this and we disagree with this, but there's no but. There is no but. That other stuff is another topic for another day. I'm telling you, by the way I'm approaching this, I'll probably have people on all sides of the political aisle that don't like what I'm saying. I'll have conservative friends that think, well, he's selling out. He's making it better on these other groups. Get what I'm saying? They've got their issues. I disagree with almost everything about them. But they aren't the issue in this discussion. The people on the left side of the aisle, they'll be upset because I say, I've got problems with this group, and I don't agree with much of anything that they believe in. The conservatives are going to be mad at me because, well, they have their constitutional rights. Of course they do. But guess what trumps constitutional rights? The instructions of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's where we're going to look and say, Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. If you'll turn in your Bibles back to the Old Testament chapter, our book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, we're going to look at the entire first chapter. We're going to take it in segments, so don't feel like you're going to be read to nonstop here at the beginning. We're going to take it into four segments. And my four segment points come from John Wesley's commentary on this chapter. And point number one is Judah's sins, and that'll be verses 1-4. And God's word says this: the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Under the title, A Rebellious Nation, hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a broad of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord, they have sinned, have spurned the Holy One of Israel, and turned their backs on him. I want you to notice as we go through the scriptures here in Isaiah chapter 1, how it could line up with where America is today. I'm not preaching a God bless America sermon. I'm just preaching where I believe that God has led us to tonight in this setting. And I believe that God has led us to realize that we aren't everything that we ought to be. Whether it be as a nation, whether it be as our individual communities, or whether it be in your individual congregations and your individual lives. we aren't necessarily where we need to be. That's not to say there's not good. There is good in America. There's a lot of good in America. There are a lot of people that are going to wonderful churches throughout this great land. And for that, I'm thankful. There are millions of really good people in America. Millions. But folks, we can't rest on the laurels of behind. We can't rest on the fact that God created America as a Christian nation that you hear me say on a regular basis. We can't rest on those laurels because we have to take ownership of where we are today, just like Isaiah was talking to the people of Judah here. He was letting them know that their sins were real and that they had turned their back on the God of the Bible. If we look at point number two, we see the judgments against Judah. Starting in verse 5, why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleaned or bandaged or soothed with olive oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. Daughter Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a cucumber field, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have been like Sodom, or we would have been like Gomorrah. I'm telling you, folks, if this is not speaking to you about America today, and you may say, well, that is an Old Testament. That's to God's people in Judah. I'm telling you, it's for God's people then, and it's for God's people now. Pay attention to what the prophet says here. The prophecies that he speaks over them are still relevant to you and I today. I don't know why we think things don't apply to us, because they certainly do. We look into the situation of another person. We see that when we say that Christ is the answer, a story goes like this. When the wife of missionary Adoniram Judson told him that a newspaper article likened him to some of the apostles, Judson replied, I do not want to be like Paul or any mere man. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow him only, copy his teachings, drink in his spirit, and place my feet in his footprints. Oh, to be more like Christ. And here's what I say for America. We have got to get rid of the ways of the world. We have got to follow Christ in his example. The example of Christ isn't okay, isn't to say it's okay for white supremacists to do their thing. It's our job as Christians to, even if we believe it is their right, which I don't disagree with you if you believe that, to speak out against it. And don't say but. Don't say but. The only answer to the problems of not only America, but the world over is Jesus Christ. That's the only answer. Until we start as a nation accepting Jesus as our Savior, and that the God of the Bible is the one true God, then we are in for trouble. At the end of that, if the Lord Almighty had not left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom and we would have become like Gomorrah, fire burning down on those cities. We see fire burning in places in America. We've seen it in the last few months, the last few years, over and over, cities burning with anger and hatred. You know, we need unity. I said I was talking earlier to white conservative Christians. But now I'm talking to everyone. We need unity. We don't need specific kinds of churches, churches where this denomination and that denomination, and I'm not preaching against denominations tonight, not churches where all white people go, and not churches where all black people go, not churches where all Hispanic people go. We need unity in the body of Christ. You see, Christ didn't come for a specific race. Christ came for all. And we need to be like Christ. Point number three, God rejected the worship of Judah. Starting in verse 10, it says this, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instructions of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot hear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood." Woo! Isaiah is on a roll with his prophecy. You know, we have the mistaken opinion that God listens to all of our prayers. Well, there is a difference between hearing and listening. God hears our prayers. But if you are not in a relationship with Him, why would He answer your prayers? Well, that's kind of tough. Well, you can't be living whatever life you choose and think God is going to hear and answer your prayers. He's going to hear. But when it comes to listening and answering, I don't believe He's under any obligation. Boy, it got quiet here in my studio. It's one of those moments, if there was 200 people out in front of me, it would have got quiet in the congregation too. Probably stepped on some toes. If you're listening in your home and don't have your shoes on, you probably just said, ouch. But it's my job as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to not only lift you up, to encourage you, but sometimes I have to reprimand you, and I sometimes have to step on your toes. I do it in love. But I'm telling you that they talk about in God's word the prayers of the righteous. There's a difference. Those of you who know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, your prayers are needed. And you are essential in what goes on in your country and in your congregations and in your own personal lives. Essential. Now, I'll speak to those of you who don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the ones that I have just set aside in a certain way. And you might say, well, you just told me that God doesn't hear or answer my prayers. No, He hears your prayers. He knows everything. He knows what you were and who you were before you were ever born. But I'm telling you, if you want God to answer your prayers, you have to be in a personal relationship with Him. It's just that simple. Will He allow good things to happen in your life? Absolutely. I'm not casting you into a pit of fire while you're here on this earth. But at some point, you've got to get into a relationship, a real relationship with the God of the Bible, and you do that through his son, Jesus Christ. There's another story that goes like this. Theologians tell a story to illustrate how Christ's triumph presently benefits our lives. Imagine a city under siege. The enemy that surrounds the city will not let anyone or anything leave. Supplies are running low and the citizens are fearful. But in the dark of the night, a spy sneaks through the enemy lines. He has rushed to the city to tell the people that in another place, the main enemy force has been defeated. The leaders have already surrendered. The people do not need to be afraid. It is only a matter of time until the besieging troops receive the news and lay down their weapons. Similarly, we may seem now to be surrounded by the forces of evil. And we are, folks. We are surrounded by the forces of evil. And that might be disease, injustice, oppression, death. But the enemy has actually been defeated at Calvary. Things are not the way they seem to be. It's only a matter of time until it becomes clear to all that the battle is really over. Now, Satan is not going to allow you to believe that without a fight. He wants you. He wants all of the things that Isaiah was prophesying up to this point to be talking about you. He's happy with that. But the whole chapter isn't rebuke. The final half of the chapter, verses 16 through 31, are exhortations to repentance, promises of grace and mercy, threatenings of sore judgments, and complaints by reason of their backsliding. Listen to this. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Let's put the brakes on right there. Stop doing wrong. Don't blame everybody else for your problems. Stop doing what's wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Get this, Isaiah, a prophet in the Old Testament, is talking about Jesus Christ right here in his prophecy. Though they are red as crimson, they will be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See how the faithful city has become a prostitute. She once was full of justice, righteousness, called to dwell in her, but now murderers. And folks, if that's not talking about America today, it's talking about a city here, but we could insert, instead of faithful city, we could insert America. See how America has become a prostitute. She was once full of justice, righteousness, and it used to dwell in her, but now murderers. Do you see why? I feel like this ties right in with where our country is, and in particular what went on in Charlottesville, Virginia yesterday. Your silver has become dross. Your choice wine is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, partners with thieves. Man, this is America, folks. This is America. They are partners with thieves. They all love bribes. They chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them. Therefore, the Lord Almighty, the Mighty One of Israel declares, "Ah, I will vent my wrath on my foes and avenge myself on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all of your impurities. I will restore your leaders as in days of old, your rulers as at the beginning. Afterward, you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion will be delivered with justice." There's the good news, folks. we put America in there again, and it can say right there, America will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. America can be right there just like they were in Judah where Isaiah was prophesying to them. Zion will be delivered with justice, her pittance ones with righteousness, but rebels and sinners will both be broken, and those who forsake the Lord will perish. You will be ashamed because of the sacred oaks in which you have delighted. You will be disgraced because of the gardens that you have chosen. You will be like an oak with fading leaves in a garden without water. The mighty man will become tinder and his work a spark. Both will burn together with no one to quench the fire. You know, no matter how many times I go through certain passages of scripture, God speaks to us at different times by where we need to be and where we need to hear. And folks, God has spoken to us tonight from Isaiah chapter 1. I haven't spoken to you. God has spoken to me and through me and wanted me to share this with you because we need to hear it. We need to be called out. We need to know when we do wrong that it's wrong, that everything is not okay, but we also need to know that there is hope and that after God rebukes us, even punishes us, there is hope and hope eternal. God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for your sins, and that, folks, is the answer to all our troubles. Well, that seems pretty simple, Pastor Ed. Exactly. Exactly. If we could get those people in Washington, D.C. to understand that Christ is the answer, our country would turn around. If we could get people in our state capitals to understand that Christ is the answer, our troubles in our states would begin to disappear. If we could get our local city governments to understand that Christ is the answer, guess what? We would see our communities come and grow in the will of the Lord. I'm not going to eliminate the congregations throughout America. If our churches would understand that Christ is the answer, then we would see a healing in our land, in our lives, in our local areas, everywhere. It would go around the world because our influence goes around the world. I love America. Don't always like her, but I love her. But no president, no government official, no country is the answer. Christ is the answer. Father, we come to you just now as we complete our time together. And we thank you, Father, for loving us. And Father, we ask forgiveness for our nation when we fail you. We ask forgiveness as individuals when we come short of what you would have us to be. And Father, as we come to you tonight, help us to continue to look here at Isaiah chapter 1 and understand that we are not above the wrath of God as a nation or as individuals. Help us to strive to be like Christ. As the one sermon illustration talked about, it's not our job to try to be like Paul or any of the apostles, but it's our job to try to be like Christ. And Father, help us to understand what that means. That every day we should do our very best to be Christ-like. And Father, we'll fail along the way. But your mercy endures forever. And we're so thankful for that. Bless us tonight with sleep and rest, Father. For those who are ill, those who have diseases, we pray healing in the name of Jesus. And most of all here, Father, we pray that those who do not know your Son Jesus as their Lord and Savior will believe that today is the day of salvation. And before they lay down tonight, they will give their lives to you. They do that by recognizing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Lord and our Savior. They repent or turn around their lives and quit sinning. They acknowledge that Christ is the Lord of their lives and that he died on a cross and he rose again. Those things are essential, Father. And we pray that if that's all that they can get done tonight, Father, that you will accept them in to the holy family of God. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And we pray this all in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, folks, for being with me. I love each and every one of you. That's why I preached the way I did tonight. God bless, and go out and do the right thing. For those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio, I haven't discontinued our connection, and I want to play a song for you. Michael W. Smith, we played it on the show yesterday. He has a new song, and we want to get it out as often as we can. That song is called A Million Lights. This is Michael W. Smith. We'll sign off as soon as it's over. Thank you for being with us. And once again, go out and do the right thing.
I'll never be Massage Envy gift card might just be the best holiday gift ever because it unwraps all the benefits of total body care, including massage and total body stretch, customizable facials, and advanced skincare services, including microderm infusion and chemical peels. Share the gift of wellness and help everybody on your list be their very best. Receive a voucher for 2 free enhancements when you purchase $100 in Massage Envy gift cards. Massage Envy, making the best of every body. See locations for details. Offer ends December 31st. Voucher valid until March 31st, 2019. Each Massage Envy location is independently owned and operated.